In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Truly he is risen.
Christos anesti. Christos voskrese. Today is Thomas Sunday. It's the eighth day after Pascha, or of Pascha. And this story is really extremely full and lively. There's a lot we could talk about. But there's one thing that to me is the essence of the story. The very first part of the story is full of great theology, and it's important to understand it. But that's not the essence of the story. The essence of the story is Thomas, and Thomas's unbelief. We call it his believing disbelief. Now, it's really wonderful when we have great happiness on Pascha or some other feast. And it's wonderful when we want to spread that happiness to others. But I am keenly aware as a pastor, and also as a fallen human being, that there are times when things are not so wonderful. Sometimes even in the middle of a feast, they're not so wonderful. There are things that are causing us grief or disbelief or uncertainty or confusion or deep sadness. Thomas had those things. In the midst of all the happiness of his friends, the people he had literally cured the sick with and spent over 3 years learning alongside them, as Jesus taught them, both by word and deed, he couldn't believe what they were telling him. Because they said, he's risen from the dead. We saw him. He wasn't there in the upper room that day, on the day of Pascha. He was away on some errand. And when he came back, they told him, they must have told him 1,000 times. But he couldn't believe. I think I know why he couldn't believe. I think you know why too. And that's because sometimes sorrow just confuses things. Sometimes when we have our hopes dashed, we just can't think clearly for a period of time. Some people for the rest of their lives, when they have some great disappointment and they lose their faith or they lose a friendship and they won't speak to anybody anymore or something of that nature. When we have great and deep sorrow, especially when it's a confusing kind of sorrow, like Thomas had, where he expected that he would go and die with Christ, and then he got all scared like everybody else, and he ran away, and then the next thing he knows, Christ is naked, bleeding on the cross, and then they're taking him off the cross, and he's hiding as they're doing it, and it's over. So with all those feelings, Thomas could not believe, but he wanted to. He wanted to. This is one of the core ideas here. He wanted to believe. He loved Jesus Christ, because he'd been with him. He'd spoken with him. He'd touched him. He'd seen him. He'd seen what he could do. And he'd seen what could happen even in his own poor sinful flesh, because the Lord, when he sent them out, he performed miracles too. So he knew all those things, and yet he couldn't believe that Jesus was alive. It was just too incredible, too fantastic. But he stuck around. And that's the most important thing. He stuck around. He stayed with those he loved, even though he didn't believe. Could you imagine how hard it must have been? Every day they're saying, Thomas, he's alive. We've seen him. To hear that over and over again, to see the happiness of everyone around him, and to not feel it because there's this black spot in his heart that seems to be just heavy. But he waited. And of course, the Lord came to him on the eighth day. That's the core meaning of this feast, that because of love, even though he was disappointed, even though he was very deeply sorrowful and probably very confused and probably even angry, he waited. I don't think he even knew what he was waiting for. But he had no place else to go. The Lord had the words of life, and even if he was dead, they were better than the words of the Pharisees. So he stayed. We must apply this to our life. Because I guarantee you, every single person in this life has had feelings like Thomas. That is, unless you're actually some sort of robot or an alien from another planet, you have these feelings sometimes. Some of you have the feelings a lot. And what do you do with these feelings? Most people abandon belief. Maybe not in saying so much that I don't believe anymore, but it no longer has an active influence in their life because of their sorrow or their confusion or their anger or their brokenness. But this is not what the Christian life is. The Christian life is that Jesus Christ came because we are broken to make us unbroken. And that process is a difficult process. It's difficult because of our sins, really. It's not difficult because God makes it difficult. But nonetheless, it's hard. And we must continue to do those things that bring us to God, even if we don't feel it in our heart. I have people all the time tell me, I just don't feel anything when I pray. But then I find out that they pray for seconds a day. Well, okay, I can understand that you don't feel anything when you pray. You're not practicing it very much. Or having bad feelings about a person and finding out that they don't pray for that person. Or that they indulge discussion about that person with someone else who doesn't like them. Or other such things. You can't make your feelings go away. We don't have the power to do that. But we do have the power to stay with Christ. We can do that. And if we do, we will be rewarded as Thomas was. Now, Thomas only had to wait 8 days. Perhaps some of us need to wait 8 weeks or 8 months or 8 years or 80 years for certain things. Perhaps there always will be some confusion in us or some anger or some brokenness or some sorrow. But this gospel tells us that only Jesus Christ is the solution to our sorrow. But only if we stay with him. That's what you must do. You must hold on as tight as you can. Even if you're doing a terrible job, you hold on to Christ. You do what you're able to do. Are you able to fast? Then fast. Are you able to fast terribly? Then at least fast terribly. Are you able to pray? Then pray. If you don't pray very much, then try to pray a little bit more. If you can pray with attention, that's good. If you can pray with inattention, if that's all you can do, then that's all God expects of you. But it has to be with effort. I remember, I guess this is a very personal example, when my father died, they had just retired only a few years ago, and he got colon cancer. It was a very, it had not been discovered for a long time, and it was very low in the colon, which is even more dangerous. He died within a year and a half. And actually, when he died, I had seen him 2 weeks before he died, and yet when I saw him in the coffin, I would swear to you that that was not my father. I could not recognize him because he had lost so much weight. He was well under 100 pounds, something like that, because the cancer had eaten him away. And my mother was angry, and she lost her faith. She didn't stop going to church. She just stopped believing because she was angry that God would take him. Well, you know, when people get to be 60 years old, 65 years old, sometimes they die of cancer. Or sometimes people get hit by trucks. Or in another personal example, drown in rivers. Things happen. But my mother couldn't deal with that disappointment, with that sorrow. So her belief was a shadow of what it formerly was. She was only formally a believer from that point on. Because she couldn't deal with the sorrow. With the disappointment, with the confusion, with the why me questions. You have things like that that happen to you in your life, or are going to happen. What are you going to do about them? Are you going to be just sort of a semi-Christian? Maybe you go to church. Maybe you go to church a lot. Maybe you go every Sunday, every Saturday. Maybe you go very little. Whatever happens in your religious life, are you waiting? Are you trying to stay with Christ? Or are the things that happen in your environment just too much for you and making you basically be an unbeliever? I know a lot of people that are unbelievers. They come in the church for a little while and then they go away because there is something like these thoughts of Thomas, either sorrow or brokenness or confusion, and they can't keep those two things together. Thomas could. He was confused. He was sorrowful, and yet he stayed. That's the message of Thomas Sunday. It's a very hopeful message. Many of you know that I say that this is the most important day of the year, by far, 1,000 times more important than Pascha. Pascha is a time when people come because, well, you know, that's when you get your kulich blessed, and that's when everybody gathers and says, Christos voskresi, Christ is risen. And it's almost a social phenomena, more than it is a religious one. But the ones who stay for Thomas Sunday, now that's a significant metaphor for the rest of our life, as well as being an actual good thing to do. Thomas stayed for Thomas Sunday. If he hadn't, he wouldn't be among the apostles. He would have just drifted off and had a very unfulfilling life Maybe he would have known that, maybe he wouldn't. But he stayed. That's what you must do. I'm really not concerned when I encounter people that have sins and problems and weaknesses. What I'm concerned about is if I don't see drive, if I don't see some sort of desire that crowds out everything else. It might not crowd out the behaviors yet, but if it's that is the focal point of their life. Just like when Peter said, how can we go anywhere? You have the words of life. And after he said those things, terrible things happened, but they didn't go anywhere. They were scared sometimes. They ran away for a short period of time, a few hours, but they stayed. That's what you and I must do. That's the message of Thomas Sunday. It's an exciting message. I find it much more exciting than, let's say, having some sort of sermon where we say, all things are made new today and everything is joyful. Well, the fact is that if you're saying to a group of people, everything and everyone is joyful, that's always a lie. Because in a big enough group of people, there are people that are not joyful. It's just a fact. And if you say you're always joyful, then that might be possible. But in my personal experience and my experience with other people, it's very rare that a person is always joyful. The test of Christianity, the test of whether or not you love Christ, is what do you do when you have the feelings of Thomas? It's a great reward waiting for us. It doesn't matter how good you are, whether you are good at fasting or forgiving people or whatever. As long as you're trying to forgive people now. You can't get away with not forgiving them without trying. But perhaps some of us are good at some things and not so good at others. Perhaps some of us, we see the darker side of things more than others. We're more prone to depression or to confusion or whatever. None of that matters if you stay. That's what's important. That's the message of St. Thomas. I think it's a beautiful message. Truly, it's good news. Christ is risen.
Truly.